Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf, using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
Hey, Melissa, how you doing today?
I'm good. Matt, I'm so excited to talk to you today, and I'm excited. Thank you for the invite to the JA Trivia Bowl. I can't wait to show off how not good I am at trivia, so thank you for the invite to me and my family for that.
For clarity, that remember, those questions are geared towards kids, so hopefully you and I can shine.
I hope so. You know, but the questions that we have today are not necessarily geared towards kids, or geared towards someone with a really, really interesting career. But I hope that the kids, the young adults who are listening today are going to get a lot out of it. So let's see how much you know about criminal science, criminology. How many true crime podcasts are you listening to right now, Matt?
Well, right now, I would say zero, but the beauty is that I was exposed to the podcast world when my wife said, you have to listen to this podcast called Serial. And about 7-8 years ago, I started listening to one that was about a gentleman named Adnan and a very unfortunate situation that occurred between him and a girlfriend. So that really got me into this world of listening to podcasts. And ironically, today we are going to be speaking with a criminal investigator here in Iowa. And we're really excited to have that individual join us named Kristen Hart. So Kristen, welcome to the podcast. It's the podcast called A Real Piece of Work, a job podcast for young people. So welcome to the program, Kristen.
Hi, how are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome to the program. You got myself and Melissa Pepper here. I'm Matt Rebro with Russell Construction, a Junior Achievement of the Heartland board member and part-time podcaster. My full-time job is to help our company hopefully build a building or two for somebody here and there. And in the meantime, I get the pleasure of doing a podcast and getting involved in the communities in which we live, work, and play. Melissa?
Yes. Hi, Kristen. I'm so excited to talk to you. I, in preparation, did read up on your LinkedIn. I'm excited to get to know you better. But really, I just want to know, do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine? How many crime shows are you currently watching? I mean, Matt admitted zero, but I'm hoping that you're more of a crime watcher or a listener.
I guess I don't have to be. Crime pays in my world. My favorite is NCIS. So that's the go-to one. The others are a little too out there. However, I have listened to the Serial podcast that Matt was referring to, which is surprising for me because usually I try to keep it a little bit lighter in real world.
Yeah. So, okay. You said crime pays. So you're just asking for it. Like, can it, like how much? I mean, talk to us about, can I make a living in the crime investigating world? Tell me about it.
Absolutely. First, I guess I'll give you just a little bit about what I do. I'm a criminalist for the Iowa Department of Public Safety. I work in the crime lab in the state of Iowa, and I am a firearms and tool marks examiner. And so, yes, actually, we process evidence that comes to the crime lab, and we testify and report on that evidence to our shareholders, which would be law enforcement and the public. And yes, it does pay in our world. We do make a good living. We work in a laboratory setting with kind of a side job being crime scene investigation. But what we do here at the lab is mostly lab work. And we have all different types of levels, if you will, of our job at this point in time. We have forensic techs that are just starting out right out of college. And then as you get more experience or have been in laboratories before, you move into the criminalist class. So yes, we do have kind of a stair-step environment going on at the lab now. Things are moving towards that direction. We do get paid to help solve crimes.
So how did you get into it? How did you, what was your path from high school?
Well, so I grew up in a small town in north central Iowa. My dad actually was a state fire marshal. So in the state of Iowa, they have different zones, or they divide the state up into four zones. My dad had the kind of the north central northeast Iowa territory, and he was responsible for responding to fire departments to help investigate fires. And then he again worked for the public safety Department of Public Safety and would, you know, report on and testify to his investigations of fire scenes. So I was exposed to that at a pretty early age. And then I went to school went into college into biochemistry. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do with it. And then I got kind of turned on to the idea of forensic science through Patricia Cornwell novels. I think I've got that right. That was a long time ago. But she was a medical examiner and had all different types of investigations that she had to do. It was kind of before the whole crime TV shows. I mean, Unsolved Mystery was the real big kicker back in my day. But that kind of where I started with, you know, reading her books, getting interested in that type of path. And I was already headed towards biochemistry. And so I didn't really want to go to med school, but I wanted to be in law enforcement and forensic science. And so I ended up as a criminalist.
That's pretty darn cool. I'm kind of curious. Is your degree in college a requirement for getting in to being a criminalist, or are there other pathways?
Well, so that's a great question. We get that a lot, especially from students. The path that I took to the crime lab itself is through a core science. So biochemistry, chemistry, toxicology, anthropology, regular biology. So you definitely want to have, to get into the crime lab setting, you want to have a core science. We call it a core science. So you want to come out of college with a core science degree. From there, you can kind of, there's some diversions that you can take, whether it's straight into a laboratory setting or it's into graduate school. I started with, like I said, the biochemistry background. I have a master's in forensic science. And I started in the DNA section. DNA, fingerprints, and the drug sections are really the big departments in the lab that are going to bring in a lot of individuals. Those are large laboratories. So, you know, that was a great stair step for me into the laboratory. That was my background, was in biochemistry. So it worked out really, really well. But again, like a fingerprint examiner, a latent print examiner, you're going to see more of like an anthropology background, archaeology, if you've got an interest in that, it can always be kind of a diversion there. So yeah, it's the core sciences that we really want to focus on for our laboratory job.
So tell me more about, I mean, I've watched enough crime shows to have a totally wrong picture of your job. So tell me what it really entails. I mean, you gave us a little bit, but just kind of dated, like, what did you work on this morning, or what does your week look like?
So first, so the idea of the crime shows really brought, I mean, O.J. Simpson. So like I said, my beginnings were in DNA. The O.J. Simpson trial brought DNA evidence and DNA technology into the limelight, and that the idea of the crime shows, you know, soon followed because people were just enthralled with this science. Well, that's made our job actually as an expert witness in a courtroom setting a little bit easier, because people have watched, like you said, Melissa, they have watched the crime shows and they have seen, you know, that a little dabble of the technology and what we do in the lab. Now, is it realistic? Not necessarily, but it does give somebody who's sitting on a jury panel some knowledge of what we're talking about. I mean, DNA evidence, trying to explain what that was, you know, just 10 years ago was challenging, and the TV shows actually made it a little bit easier. That being said, you know, my job, I come to work and I put some scrubs on because I know I'm going to be back in the laboratory, and I get my evidence from our evidence room. I check it out kind of like a library book, actually. It's a good example. So I check out my evidence that law enforcement submitted to us, and I take it back into my laboratory. And so like this morning, I walked back there and I had a couple of comparison cases. So I was looking at cartridge cases that were located at a scene, and the investigators had a gun that they wanted compared. So they wanted the gun test fired here at the laboratory. So we would obtain cartridge cases from that gun, and we would be able to compare those test fires to the evidence that they found at the scene. So I spent, you know, probably a couple, 2-3 hours sitting in a microscope, where I make the comparisons between a cartridge case that's found at the scene to a cartridge case that I produced as the test-fired cartridge case here at the laboratory. And then the kind of the fun part and the side note to COVID is we've actually updated our technology in our laboratory. So we have nice big screens so we can do all of our identification. So if I identified a cartridge case, I have to have somebody else look at it. So it's kind of cool now. We've got nice big screens and we can really visualize the pictures that we've got on our microscopes. And so I have, you know, another examiner confirm that I've got an identification. And then at some point, I'm going to write up a report about it. So that's my typical day.
So on the coattails of that, so you're in a lab. Is there any days that you're on scene, you're outside? It sounds like you mentioned a courtroom as well. What happens outside of the lab that you're involved with?
Well, so at the laboratory, we provide a service to smaller agencies. In the state of Iowa, which is where I am at, we don't have all of the law enforcement is not capable of working their own crime scenes. If a crime occurs, a lot of times they are not equipped to be able to process it. Like the bigger cities, the Quad Cities, Des Moines, Iowa City, you see a lot of the bigger cities, they're capable of it. But here at the lab, we provide a service where we can respond as a crime scene unit. So we have two people that are on call 7 days a week, and then they rotate off. So you're on call about every 6 to 8 weeks with a partner, and you're responsible for taking a phone call if there is a suspected death, if there is a shooting of any sort, and you're to respond. You help those agencies take photos and measurements, and actually we're just doing some training on a 3D laser scanner. So that's going to get us out of the laboratory if you're on crime scene. Right now, I just completed my training as a firearms examiner and have come online with big cases now. So I'm more worried about just having to testify at court. Prior to new training in a firearms section, I was on crime scene and also getting out of the office to testify in court and give an idea to the jurors as to what I did for my analysis.
Very, very cool. Well, besides the post high school path in terms of education, were there any classes in high school specifically that you're like, you know what, I know I want to do this, or even looking back, you wish you would have at the high school level concentrated on a little more?
I was kind of one of those kids who took on all sorts of stuff. So for me, I absolutely avoided the language arts and the English classes as much as I possibly could. Looking back, I would have loved to have challenged myself more in like the idea of speech and presentation and getting up in front of people and doing some public speaking. That would have been one thing in high school I should have taken more initiative to pursue. Because when we present our findings in court, when I talk to even you guys, like on a podcast format, this is completely new to me, but we do trainings where we teach law enforcement how to collect evidence or what we do. And we need to be comfortable in our own skin, comfortable presenting something that we know a lot about to people who don't. And so that's where I didn't do a lot of speech. I didn't do a lot of debate. I would have liked to. That's definitely something looking back I would have liked to do, because you got to be comfortable, especially in a courtroom setting. That can be very overwhelming your first time as a new criminalist testifying to the results that you obtained. Now, that being said, all the sciences that I took every science I could possibly take in high school just because I was interested in it. And that proved really well for me in college and in graduate school and now in my job. Yeah, I mean, it's not as fancy and finagled as it is on television. Like, we don't wear low-cut shirts. We don't operate in the dark, you know, and we don't carry a weapon. We don't crime scene. They had talked of it at one point in time when we were on crime scene, but we have an escort. We always have a supervisor at the scene. We always have law enforcement providing security. So we never had to. So you don't see us. Well, we're not sworn officers. We're not sworn agents here at the laboratory. Other states, they do have sworn individuals working in their laboratory. We don't. We're a civilian laboratory. So just a little tidbit.
Awesome. I'm kind of curious as well, circling back just to the day-to-day, the job, mm-hmm. And the things required of you. If you could eliminate one thing that is required of your job, what might it be and why?
That's a great question. And I laugh because I love every aspect of my job with the exception of writing my reports. Mm. Like if I could just, you know, you go to the doctor's office and they just sit there and they talk to their computer and then it types it for them and then they hand it off to somebody and they write it. And I would love to just be able to like put all my findings together, compile it, you know, dictate a few notes and hand it off to somebody to write my reports. It's just one of those things. I don't like to necessarily sit down and type up reports. It's not something I'm very good at. But I do it. That's one thing. There are a lot of people that would say that our job is a bit gory and can be at times a bit depressing. So that's, you know, you don't see the rosy side of the world here. So that's another thing that, you know, I mean, what we do isn't sunshine and roses, but somebody's got to do it. So,
you know, on the coattails of that, I may pause here a little bit. Every podcast that we want to bring in one of our target audiences, which is the high school student. And we've got a question from a high school student that kind of complements what you were just talking about there. So here comes a question for you.
Hi, Kristen Hart. This is Drew Jardine from Rock Island High School, and I just wanted to know, as a criminalist, is it as emotionally demanding as you would think it would be as a job, or do you think it's sort of laid back, more of an office job?
Hi, Drew. That is a great question, and it is emotionally demanding. We unfortunately see the bad side of the world. We receive evidence that has harmed someone in some way. And we're responsible for analyzing that evidence in a fair and neutral and non-biased way, and then reporting on that evidence. And we don't see the happier side of things most times. So it is emotionally taxing. There are definitely elements here at the crime lab. There are definitely sections here at the crime lab where you don't necessarily have a hands-on or an emotional connection to a case. Unfortunately, in my situation, the two sections that I've worked in, with DNA being one of them, and firearms being the second, I didn't see the best of any case that came in. Again, someone had been harmed, someone had been killed, and that's the type of stuff we're working with every day. And as a crime scene tech, there's definitely a stair step into the crime lab or into a law enforcement scenario if you're interested in forensic science, and that's being a crime scene tech. They're not going to see the good things. They're not going to see the great outcomes. They're going to see what's left, and that can get hard. But what's really nice nowadays that wasn't available back, you know, even 10 years ago, are the support and the recognition that, you know, this job is challenging and we need help being able to handle, emotionally handle and mentally handle the things we see and have to deal with. So hope that answered your question.
So Kristen, thank you for sharing that vulnerable side of the job. I think that you probably have, you know, kindred spirits to those in maybe the healthcare world as well, and all that, you know, the burdens that they shoulder. So how do you find support? Do you have mentors or others in the industry that you, you know, just kind of, you know, connect with to kind of get through your day or week?
Absolutely. I'm really lucky. We're lucky here at the lab for sure. I have amazing people that I work with, and I feel like I provide support to people that need it when they ask of me. So we have a really cool team here, I think. A lot of people with a varied amounts of experience. We definitely have some senior criminalists here who've been around for ages, and they help, you know, handle and be able to compartmentalize and be able to put away some of these kind of hard things. And we have young, fresh, very excited, very ambitious, you know, people coming in to the field. And so it's a fresh, you know, those guys are a fresh breath of air because they've not been around it as long. So it's a nice balance. And then of course, we've got a huge support staff in our agents and our supervisors. I mean, the agents that are out in the field, those are the sworn officers. Those are the ones that are, you know, handling the firearms, and those are the ones providing, you know, security and protection and information to us as a crime scene unit or even at here at the laboratory. And we have really good people. We are very, very lucky here in the state, and working with the Department of Public Safety, we have a really cool group of people that have always, I've never had an issue where if there's been a problem or if I'm having a hard time digesting it that I can't find, you know, somebody to talk to or somebody that's there for me in any way. So it's awesome. We're growing. Like, I swear every month there's a new person walking in the lab. And I'm like, I don't know who that is. We need name tags. But what's cool is we're growing, but yet we're still able to maintain that support, which is really nice.
Sounds like you got a great work team. I'm kind of curious on a personal note, if you don't mind, what's the work-life balance feel like in a career like this?
So at the laboratory, it is nice because we are, for the most part, a laboratory position. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily a 9-to-5 because we've got some, you know, early morning or, you know, later evening flexibility on how your schedule shifts around. So we're pretty consistent that way. If we are on crime scene, that's where it gets a little hard to balance because you're on call. So things kind of stop when you have to, you know, hang onto that phone everywhere you go. That being said, if we do have to testify here, we've got probably the longest drive is 3 hours. So sometimes you're on the road late. Sometimes you're getting home late or, you know, you have to leave really early in the morning. You have to stay over. So you have to testify. That's pretty much it. We do some trainings that you're out of town for, but the work-life balance, for the most part, we're pretty lucky with the base job of being in the laboratory. Again, you take some, it depends on how you take stuff home. I know I have a little bit of a drive before I get home. And so it doesn't necessarily, I'm able to kind of depressurize. I'm not sure that's the right word, but just like decompress and take a, you know, 20 minutes on my drive home and just kind of let everything go from work and be ready to address, you know, home life. So it's a pretty nice balance. It's really not that skewed one way or the other.
Excellent. Excellent. Melissa, any other question that's burning with you right now?
Do you wear scrubs or do you wear a suit? What does one wear on the job? I know that's such a silly,
no.
But I mean, you know what? Let's end with fashion. Why don't
Absolutely. We? Absolutely. What's kind of crazy with this whole pandemic, and I feel like I speak for probably 80% of the laboratories, we don't see anybody. We're pretty secure here. Unless we have a tour coming through, we see each other. And so we are still required to wear business casual. Like that is our required outfit is business casual when we're working in the office. Now for in the laboratory, like for me, if I'm dealing with test firing guns, I've got soot and residue and grease from those firearms. I potentially have, you know, chemicals if I'm doing any chemical work. So I don't want that on my clothing. So it's been nice because they have cleared us to wear scrubs. Now in the DNA section, it's a big deal because you don't want to bring any contaminations, whether it's chemical or biological, on your clothing into the laboratory. So you try to keep it as clean as possible. Lab coats and scrubs are an option for the DNA section. The rest of the lab kind of looks at us funny when we're walking around in scrubs, but I've ruined too many pieces of clothing. So we've got scrubs approved. They're super comfortable and nice to be in a laboratory. That being said, the whole pandemic thing came along and everybody's like, well, nobody's coming into the lab, so you guys can wear jeans. And it was like God's gift to the world. We got to wear jeans. It made everybody's morale amongst the, you know, the pandemic. It was like, oh, yes, I don't have to dress up because we're not fancy people. We don't, you know, we're laboratory people. We like to be in the lab. So 9 times out of 10, we're working in the lab, we're business casual. Fridays, we get to wear jeans and we're scrubs if we're in, you know, working with our actual evidence in the laboratory. But that being said, we do have to put the suits and the fancy clothes on when we go to court and when we testify. We want to look very professional. They expect a professional level from us as we are expert witnesses, and that's where they're to do our job. So in that sense, we absolutely dress up. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that clean up really well around here. So it's kind of fun to see the new styles coming through.
That's awesome.
Kristen,
I think we probably have time here for about one last question. I'll throw it out there.
Okay.
for our high school students, any last words of wisdom that you would give them if they really are interested in this career path, something that they can take away with and hopefully follow up on their own later after they listen to you?
Absolutely. First and foremost, I tell any high school student, junior high student, early college student that comes into our laboratory the same thing. If you are interested in a field like this, you have to understand that they are going to do their due diligence to watch your background and to check your background. And I say that for the sole purpose of social media. It's one of the big things that we try to address here is if you want to go into a field in law enforcement, criminal justice, forensic science, they're going to look at your Facebook. They're going to look at your Twitter. They're going to look at your whatever they can get their hands on. They're going to do their background check. And you want to keep your nose clean. I don't think you give it nearly as much credit and much power when you're enjoying watching whatever story come up on social media. But they check that stuff. So you want to make sure that you're aware of what you're posting and what you're putting out there for other people to see. So that's kind of our like little public service. The other thing that I would say, if you were interested in this field, go for the sciences. Look into the sciences. The schools and the programs that are available out there are amazing, but we are not in the criminal justice field per se. If you want to work in a laboratory doing what I do as a forensic scientist, you want to go towards the core sciences and veer away from the criminal justice track. Those are great introduction classes if you're interested in just kind of finding out what crime solving, law enforcement, you get just a little bit of a background, that's fine. But if you want to come into the forensic science field and you want to be in the laboratory, you definitely want to follow your core sciences and finish out schooling in college. Your bachelor's of science would be important. Many laboratories now are starting to require extended degrees, so master's. We have not seen the PhD push yet. Now we have quite a few PhDs here in our laboratory. It's not a requirement, but a master's is now becoming close to, if not a requirement for some sections of the laboratory. So those are kind of my last two little like nudges if you're interested in this field. It's a great field. There are crime labs across all the states. There's local crime labs, there's state crime labs, there's the federal labs. I mean, they're always looking for, you know, young and upcoming scientists. So
well, thank you so much, Kristen. It has been really fun to talk to you. I know that I learned something and I felt good because as a former speech student and a speech coach, I felt a little, you know, boost of confidence that even those who focus on the core sciences wanna learn how to speak good. So thank you for that. But really, thank you for sharing your time. I have no doubt that the students who are listening to this are all going to want to get a tour. They're going to want to talk to you and they're going to want to keep on working on their science classes. This has just been really fun. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
Melissa, what do you think? I thought that was pretty darn cool. And I'm sure our high school students and other listeners are going to think that was pretty awesome.
I know. I was so excited to hear someone who actually does this work. I just, you know, I feel like it's kind of a secret profession in some ways. And it was really cool to hear that it's a growing profession. I think that's one of my takeaways was she said, you know, I see different people coming into the lab, you know, every week. And that's really encouraging, or maybe not as far as the crime is concerned, but just that it's a growing field and really interesting to hear her passion for it and also her family background of how she got interested in pursuing it.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And I thought it was pretty neat to hear the focus that she has in terms of advising folks to think about their science classes. And for that matter, her desire and wish that she would have focused a little bit more on her communication skills at a younger age. No matter what you do, no matter what your job is, strong communication skills are only going to help. So that was pretty darn cool.
Absolutely. So I would say, I mean, my homework is to now rewatch a crime show under the lens of what she talked about. And then I'll report back to you, Matt, on all of the misconceptions based on Kristen. So so glad that you invited her on. This was really fun.
Looking forward to the next one with you.
Same. See you next week.
You bet. Take care of yourself.
You too.